Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans, now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and Crane Works and Rental Works. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the man himself, TD. What's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, good morning, good morning. What's going on, fellas?
Not a whole lot. Appreciate you taking time to join us. So, TD, we had a nice discussion yesterday on the show about, you know, Julio Jones. He got through a whole game, played the whole game on Sunday, was not on the injury report Wednesday, and you think maybe to yourself, life's starting to get a little bit easier for Julio Jones, and then great video work by you yesterday. You see Julio Jones on the route, comes up a little gimpy, and all of a sudden Julio Jones back on the injury report. I guess, number one, your reaction to seeing that happen again with Julio Jones and with the hamstring obviously being a big problem for him at this point, how would you go about handling this if you're the Titans throughout the rest of this season?
Yeah, the video, you know, I apologize to anybody that watched it and heard the F-bomb at the end, but that right there, him saying that, you know, kind of told me, okay, that's not good. And then watching him go over to the trainer and just kind of talk to them and just – the conversation that obviously you couldn't hear what they were saying, but just looking at it, you could tell that, you know, it wasn't good. So that was my initial thought. And I talked to Kayla Anderson, you know, we were standing together and I was like, this isn't good. I mean, I'm going to post a video, but I'm not sure what exactly happened, but something happened right there. And it's just unfortunate because here it was, he was kind of turning the corner. Cause as you mentioned, he finally wasn't on the injury report. And now you find him right back on there with that hamstring. And that's just something that's going to kind of come and go as the season goes on. It's going to continue to be there. You know, hamstring, the only thing you could do for that is, I mean, if you rest the guy, then, you know, you got folks like Jarrett Stillman, you know, critiquing him and criticizing him for resting. So it's just like it's a tough situation for them.
Ooh, I like the Stillman call out there.
That's right.
Nice. Well, yeah, it is. It's got to be tough, first of all, for him. I mean, you want to talk about calling people out. We had someone on the text line who thinks, like, he faked this, you know. It's, like, all part of a big, like, plan. I mean, like, the takes are going to fly around on stuff like this. But if you're the Titans, TD, and you're looking at this situation, I know you just have to react to information as it comes. But would you consider, like, some sort of extended, like, you know what, let's just give it 3 weeks. Let's give it through the off week or something. And just even if it feels good, even if you could go today, let's just try to have an extended sit down and see if maybe that gives you December and January.
I like the idea of doing that, but I think if today he's okay, I would let him go, and I think that's. Because we don't know how severe it was, right? You know, it could have just been like he felt something and he was able to go, but they were being cautious and they shut him down for that practice or limited him in that practice. So, me personally, unless it's something where he actually can't go, I wouldn't shut it down. I think you just got to let him try to work through it. Obviously, it's not something that just is going to heal without the adequate rest, but I wouldn't shut him down, not yet.
TD, how impressed are you by what you've seen from this front four defensively the last few weeks? Obviously, you know, that coming to a big culmination against the Rams the other night. And, you know, as Bud Dupree theoretically continues to get healthier, do you think that this could be what this group is as they move forward here? One of the best front fours in all of football.
Yeah, yeah. I talked to Bud Dupree the other day, and we just talked about just how he's feeling and how he's recovering after games and throughout the week. And he said he's getting, you know, like 5 massages a week and doing all kinds of stuff, cryotherapy, all of that. And he said there's still some pain, some soreness, but he feels good. And I think you're starting to see that, you know, he had a really good play on the fourth down against the Rams where, you know, he was able to stay home. They tried to boot Stafford to his side, but using his intelligence and knowledge, he didn't crash down. And Stafford wasn't able to boot outside of him. And it was a fourth down. He made Stafford change his arm angle, and, you know, it caused an incompletion. That's something that doesn't show up in the stat sheet, right? So you can't say, oh, yeah, well, you know, he had a sack. It doesn't show up. But that was a very good play, and that was a play that was impactful. And those are the things that you're seeing these guys do in addition to all the sacks that they're getting. You look at these guys up front, you know, they're getting pressure without having to blitz, and they're impacting the quarterback in addition to taking him down at times, you know. And I think when you look at DeNico Autry, I mean, I said it before, I'm going to say it again. This, in my opinion, is the best free agent signing that I've seen since 2018, you know, since I've been here. I think the Kenny Vaccaro signing, you know, adding him, but was a good one as well. But I think this DeNico Autry one is the best that I've seen. And you just look at what he's doing, man. Like, that guy is just, he's a terror. Like, he wrecks shop. And it's not just the sacks that he's getting. It's the way that they're using him, coordinating it with Jeffrey Simmons, swooping inside and doing the things that he needs to do. And this guy, you know, the technique that he's playing with the pad level and those type of things. You saw the bull rush where he, like, it was like, hey, man, you got to lead the club. You know what I mean? That's how he escorted that guard back into Matthew Stafford. And then what can you say about Harold Landry and what he's doing? So, yeah, you're 100% right. This front is one of the best in the league. And then you mentioned Tierre Tart coming in and doing what he does against the run and even, you know, getting interior pressure against the pass. You got other guys in Larrell Murchison and Naquan Jones. I mean, they're deep. And it's just fun to see, man. It's really, really fun to watch those guys. Just their coordinated pass rushes on stunts and twists and everything that they're doing, man. It's exciting.
So are we looking at a rock fight here Sunday, TD? I look at these offenses, especially with Kamara, you know, not. I mean, even if he plays, it's probably somewhat hampered Kamara.
Right.
With Trevor Siemian at quarterback, the Titans playing the way they are in D, and then a lot of questions, you know, about what the Titans are going to do to manufacture offense. We're looking at a low-scoring game, and what would be the keys to you for the Titans offensively? Let's say they don't have Julio Jones. You know, with this running back crew and everything, all the moving parts, what are the keys to you?
Yeah, I tell you, this defense is going to be tough, man. Like, they fly to the football, they tackle really well, and they're solid on all three levels, man. You know, you look at that, those guys up front, you know, David Onyemata, I mean, that dude, he has those arms that look like, remember the He-Man dolls?
Oh yeah,
that's his arms are like that, man. Like, that dude is cock diesel, and he's a load to deal with, man. And he, obviously Cam Jordan, right? You know about him. Marcus Davenport, my big little cousin. You know, he's a guy that, you know, when healthy, he could get after the quarterback. So they're really good. I think really the main thing, you have to you know, be patient with the rushing attack and still showcase that, hey, look, we're going to run the football. I think that's what you have to do, and you have to play action off of it. But it's just, you know, when you have those play action, you got Demario Davis, who's such an outstanding linebacker. So it's tough, man. Like, you want to be able to play action and drop that ball to A.J. Brown, you know, behind the linebackers. But when you have a guy like Davis that plays, you know, so instinctive, that's going to make it tough. Obviously, I think really this is a game where you got to get the tight ends involved. You know, Jeff Swaim, he has been, you know, some not featured, but he's been a guy that they're going to. So I think you got to do that. And also Firkser, you know, get back to him working in that slot and becoming someone for Tannehill to get the ball to. But it's just, I mean, when you look at this defense, it's really tough to deal with. And it's hard to come up like with a formula for them to win. So I think really it's just like maintain your offense and keep doing what you have done. And when you get opportunities to score, you know, red zone, keep that efficiency up. They were 3-for-3 last week. You got to continue that. I think they're around 65%, 63% for the year. So that's starting to uptick.
Tron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, last thing for you here. The Ravens lose to the Dolphins last night. Urban Meyer and the Jags take down the Bills last week. Who's the biggest threat still in the AFC to the Titans, in your mind?
I still think it's Buffalo, you know, even though they did lose to the Jaguars. I think it's Buffalo. And if they find a way to run the football, like, that team is going to be crazy. But they just – they're a physical team, but they can't run the football, and that's really their problem. So I think, you know, the Bills are the biggest threat. I think the Ravens are still a threat, too. Even though they lost to the Dolphins, they're still a threat, in my opinion. Just, you know, Lamar Jackson. But that defense is not good. So we'll see. But those will be the teams. But I think if you look at this whole path to the AFC Championship, I think it should run through Nashville, you know, and they have a great opportunity to get the number one seed, and it's like a perfect storm for the Titans the way everything is working out.
TD, we appreciate you so much joining us again this week. Looking forward to your coverage coming up this weekend for the Titans against the Saints, and we'll holler at you next week, my man.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys. And Michelle, thank you for the Wu-Tang. You know it's for the children. Wu-Tang forever. So
the
Jizza.
I got you,
That's
TD.
Right.
The genius.
That's right.
Yes.
TD, one of the best in the business, joins us every Friday at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and Crane Works and Rental Works. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. We'll come back. We'll react to what TD had to say there. Welcome your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, Sam in Franklin texting in. The Titans will win by 20, but Jared still goes nuts after on Ryan Tannehill about his one pick that he will inevitably throw. What do you think about that?
I feel like there's a lot of yelling at Jared today.
There's a lot of it on the text line.
And it's not even really you, Joe.
Yeah, right? I'm fine with Jared. No problem.
Joe's more in the piling on role today.
Well, look, I agree.
Joe was too busy yelling at Deontay Foreman earlier.
Yeah, that's right. Why have you not stayed in the league? So mean. Yeah, look, I agree that Tannehill has to clean up the picks.
Yeah.
He's got to clean it up. He's had some picks that, there's no excuse for some of them.
You know? This is a Saints defense that can... they can force you into some bad decisions, too.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, really, the only problem I have with that entire thing is just the decision to say, yeah, offensive line, not a big deal. Yeah, they block for Derrick Henry, so they can pass protect. Like, offensive linemen do two things. They pass protect and they run block.
Yes.
And sometimes one is a little different than the other.
That is true.
So you could be good at run blocking and you could also struggle at pass protecting. Just an interesting thing about football.
So with that in mind, you've said a couple of times today on the show, it could be a rock fight coming up on Sunday between the Titans and the Saints. Maybe a whole lot of defensive success coming up on Sunday. So with that in mind, especially if the Titans are without Julio Jones, which I think there's a good chance they might be, what's the game plan if you're the Titans to win your sixth consecutive game and come out of here with a win on Sunday against Trevor Siemian, Taysom Hill and the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, you just have to try to find offensive balance. You have to find someone else who's going to take advantage of what I expect to be plenty of attention on A.J. Brown, because that's what the Saints should do. That's the reasonable approach from the Saints is we're not going to let number 11 beat us. Anybody else out there?
Yep.
All right, okay. Especially if number 2 is not out there. All right, we're feeling just fine. Don't let 11 beat us. So, I mean, I like what TD said about Ferkser. I mean, I know the whole Ferkser thing is it's become kind of a running joke on the touchdown a week, but like at some point, it would really help this team if he could emerge and make more plays. I don't know that he will.
I'll believe it when I see it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. It's a fair way to look at it. But he is one of those. There aren't a whole bunch of possibilities. I do put a number 88 at the top of my list of guys who I think could emerge Sunday. I've been thinking that for a while. Hasn't happened much. He would have had a good play on a reverse last week. Actually, our guest today missed a block, or else that possibly was a
well, should yell at him play. About that, too.
I forgot to yell at him. I forgot to bring that up and ask him what the heck happened on that play. But, I mean, you got to try to find balance, and you got to try. You still have to try to run the ball against those guys. And like TD laid out, it's a very good, stout defense. And then on the other side of the ball, you do what you've been doing. You get after Trevor Siemian with four. As much as you can, and I think it should be a good day for the Titans defense.
Jordan on the text line, if the Dolphins can dominate the Ravens, then the Saints can do the same to the Titans. I mean, the Saints are Saints got a really good defense. Like, they're a good team. Now, they do have Trevor Siemian at quarterback. Last couple of weeks, he's looked okay.
Yeah, I mean, he threw for 217 in the second half alone. Against Atlanta, led that comeback where it looked like they were going to win the game, and then their defense gave up the big play. But, yeah, of course. I mean, in this league, again, the Bills-Jags has replaced Titans-Jets as the exhibit A on anything can happen. So there's no doubt about that. I mean, the Saints have blown out the Packers. I know it's week one, but they also just handled the Bucs a couple weeks ago. So
yep.
They're very capable.
Chuck on the text line. This is a trap game when everyone's talking about the Titans going to the AFC Championship.
Yeah, well.
Do you buy into the trap game stuff in the NFL?
I mean, I think the trap game, to me, a trap game is like
Houston.
Yeah, it's more like the where you're a huge favorite and maybe coming off a huge win, or maybe you have a huge game right after it. That's what I think of more. But in terms of what he's talking about, which is that we keep talking one seed, well, I mean, that's the problem. Hey, look, like we aren't confined by having to like look one game at a time and watch the film of the Saints.
Yeah, we're not Vrabel.
Yeah, I mean, so that's part of being.
Thankfully, for everyone involved, we're not Vrabel.
Yeah, that's
probably
part of,
not.
That's part of playing in the NFL or in like major college football, where people actually care about what you're doing on the field.
Yeah.
They're going to talk about stuff. So you got to be professional and get past. I don't think the Titans have any illusions about what they're playing this week. They know this is a good team.
Yeah.
I mean, they tried to say all week before the Jets game, that's a really good front. They got good guys up front on D, and it's a challenge. And then that front kicked their butt.
Yeah.
By the way.
It did.
So, but it's not like, I mean, they watched the film, and they said to us, like, they're really good. Believe us. They're really good. And then they were very good.
You think the Titans would be 7-2 if you and I were in charge, like Vrabel?
Well, I mean, probably I'm not good at delegating.
Me too. Professional delegator.
Shane, Todd, you guys need anything?
I'll be in here.
I get you some donuts with bacon wrapped on them.
Coffee for everyone.
That's right. Yeah.
Here's your cup of Joe.
Give everybody a hip. There we go, guys. Hey, guys, let's give the ball to Derrick Henry. What do you think?
What do you think about that game plan?
Let me think about that.
I mean, the Titans 2.5-point favorite in this game, so it's not like you're talking about, you know, it's interesting. You look around the lines in the NFL, the Bills are a 12-point favorite against the Jets this week. Cowboys 9-point favorite against the Falcons. The Colts a 10.5-point favorite against the Jags. Disrespect to the Jags coming off a big time victory.
Yeah,
I mean there's some big lines this week in the NFL. 2.5, it's basically a pick'em between
right.
The Titans and the Saints when you factor in home field.
Exactly. I mean if you go by what some people think, then basically that means on a neutral field the Saints would be favored by 0.5 point. So And I wonder, if today, whatever we find out, like if we don't hear from Julio, we get Julio out on the injury report, what does that do? Does the line move down even more?
Probably so. Henry on the text line. I know this sounds like every NFL game, but this Titans game is going to produce a lot of turnovers, and the one who recovers the most will win the game. Maybe. I mean, I don't know if I anticipate just some big turnover fest coming up on Sunday, but it could be.
Both defenses are good at that,
yeah.
So it's possible. And you've got you got limited skill guys on one side, maybe even on the other side, but you also have Trevor Siemian. I'm interested to see him play. I'm sure he'd love to tell these guys, hey, remember when you picked Logan Woodside over me? Have 450 and four touchdowns in your face.
Yeah, he's had some stretches in his career. Very, very brief stretches, but stretches nonetheless.
He was decent with Denver.
Where he's looked pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a decent little run with Denver. Yeah. He's not bad. He didn't look good in camp here last year. I can tell you that. But Sean Payton is good with the quarterback, good coach. So, but I mean, the Titans, this is the type of quarterback, like Stafford, the Titans can, Vrabel kind of danced around this. He was asked a little bit about sort of the rules of pass rushing, but basically, like, some guys you worry about that with, some guys you don't have to worry about it as much. And I would say Stafford and now this guy would fall in the latter category, and I think the Titans are going to have a chance to add to their sack total Sunday.
Yep, and we'll see, next week, if it's Davis Mills, you'll see him coming. So it certainly falls into that category.
That is true. You're not going to sneak up on him.
No, you're not. Don't miss Nashville's Best NFL Pregame Show live from Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway this Sunday. And the NFL Pregame Show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. You can join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway prior to the Titans taking on the New Orleans Saints. The NFL Pregame Show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. When we come back, the Nashville Predators red hot right now off of this road trip, and we'll discuss that a little bit more with Terry Crisp, one of our favorites, coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Nashville Predators get it done last night in overtime. Matt Duchene, the game winner, and the Predators are on a heater right now, playing some pretty good hockey on this road trip, collecting 9 out of a possible 12 points. So you'll take that every day of the week. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. And as we do every week at 8:30 on Fridays, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Terry Crisp, Predators TV analyst. Crispy, what's going on? How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. Doing really good. I just got my second cup of coffee going, and I was just sort of making sure it went over the road trip, and yes, lo and behold, the boys are pounding away at it now. 9 out of 12 points on the road. Went on there searching, needing something to give them a little bit of a boost, and they certainly got more than a boost on that road trip. Playing unbelievable hockey right now.
They sure are. And, Crispy, there's a lot to get to with the way that they're playing, but Matt Duchene, probably the headline right now for the Predators, leading the team in goals. He has two more last night, including the game winner. Obviously, the production is the easy thing to look at, but just in his overall game, what's different about Matt Duchene in your mind so far this year and what he's brought to the table on the ice?
I think the biggest thing is, and I recall a while back interview that Matt did, and he was, let's be honest, he was a whipping boy for a while. I mean, everybody wanted him to do better, do this, do that. We brought him here, that he can go on down. And I remember him saying very calmly to him, he said, hockey and sports is a weird thing. He says, you get a lot of chances and nothing breaks for you. He said, you just work a little harder, keep working, and the breaks start to come. And that's exactly what we're seeing, what Matt Duchene said, that he's now working harder. He's Janot is giving him a little boost in the arm when they put him up there. But he's now shooting the puck like we know he can. He's hitting the net with his shots. He's getting himself in the positions where he knows he can utilize his shot the best, and they're feeding him. You're using him right now. And Matt Duchene is in a very comfortable zone right now, playing the way We thought he could and knew he could when we got him.
So, Ryan Johansson also, Crispy, I mean, both those guys. I mean, look, obviously on this show and any show and the written word, any of the discussion around the Preds, those two guys have been heavily discussed, one, because production hasn't been there, and two, because of the size of their contracts. And both of them have responded. And it feels a little bit to me like, you know, even being left unprotected and all those things, like the reaction from them before the season started was what you would hope. Like whatever it is to work a little harder, just to be prepared to find common ground with John Hines, all those things, like they've done everything you'd want them to do. Do you feel like what they've done to date is sustainable throughout the whole season?
I sure hope it is. I'm hoping it is. And I, having watched Joey, not so much Duchesne for in the past, but Joey, I know he's capable of. I watched him in playoffs. I watched when he's been challenged in the playoffs by some of the toughest guys that he had to go up against in the center ice position, and he answered the bell every time. So one thing Joey cannot say to anybody, myself or himself or anybody, is the fact that he can't do it. He can do it. And when he puts his mind to it, which he seems to be doing right now, and that's what we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for Joey to step up and say, okay, let's kick this thing into gear. Same as Matt. And they're now getting chances, starting to bury them. And the biggest thing and the difference is you go to the goal department. That's where they're looking. I mean, the unfortunate part is you can work hard. People will give you accolades for that. But if you're not scoring, that's where the accolades end. And they expect that of you. And right now the expectations from Duchesne and Joey were goals, and we're starting to get them. That's what we need.
Crispy, obviously a lot of the talk about Johansson and Duchesne. Meanwhile, Mikael Granlund has 15 points in 14 games and can play pretty much anywhere you want to put him, at wing, at center, on the power play, on the penalty kill. As a coach, how important is it to have a guy like that that you trust in literally any situation that can possibly come out there on the ice?
It's unreal. And if you're a coach standing behind the bench, and I don't care if it's the first part of the game, middle, or even towards the end of the game, you're always looking for that one or two guys that you know, no matter if it's a power play, a penalty kill, even strength, keep a lead, get a goal. Right now, I would say in my mind, Granlund is the guy. If I'm the coach, I'm tapping him on the shoulder and saying, okay, Granny, we need something out of you here in the last minute and a half, or we need a goal. And he answers the bell. I mean, last night, four assists, so to speak. But I just like his game. Anytime you put him on the ice, he's going. A lot of nights, he's like that little ever-ready bunny, the little one that keeps beating the drum the time and doesn't quit going. Well, that's him. Like, he won't get a lot of points maybe some nights, maybe no points. But you know he's been in the game. He's always where the puck is. He's always in front of the net. I give him some accolades, I think, to one of my favorite players that ever wore one of our uniforms, Hornquist, Patrick Hornquist. When he's on his game, he's a pest in front of the net. And that's what I like about Granlund right now.
So, Crispy, obviously we know UC Saros is going to get a ton of work this year. I mean, the guy's going to be the most work he's had so far. He's been spectacular. But I thought David Rittich was really good last night, getting a chance to be the two. What did you think of his performance? And, you know, with Saros, is there any reason to question whether he can play, 60 games or whatever this year and hold up and keep playing at this level?
Saros, you mean? No. He can play that easy. Not a doubt in my mind. If they rest him, which they know, I know Coach Hines and his staff will do, you just take him out of practices. He doesn't stay as long on the ice in practice for himself like they did with Pecorine, and they adjusted to that. And I liked Rittich's game last night, but I was talking to people about Rittich when we first got him and whatnot, and he played out in Calgary. Obviously, I have some people out there. And they said he was a number one goaltender. He earned the right to be a number one goaltender in the NHL when he was with Calgary and a couple other teams. So we've got a goaltender who, let's say A and B, and Rittich, until we get to know him, he can do the job. He'll get any. Got us some points last night. So, yeah, you know what? I like what I've seen, and I haven't seen a lot of Rittich here, but yes.
Predators TV analyst Terry Crisp on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Crispy, you brought him up a little bit earlier. It's pretty incredible to watch what Tanner Janot is doing on a nightly basis, and a guy that has played and has moved around in the lineup as of late, the physicality pretty obvious, but the goal-scoring touch as well. As hopefully, Forsberg comes back and gets healthier and, moving ahead with this lineup this year, where would you like to see Janot play? What sort of role would you like to see Janot have with this group?
exactly what he's doing right now. Wherever they put him, he has energy to it. His line mates know that he has their back out there. Plus, he's got good hands. I mean, this guy's not just a big player. Real quickly, when we were out in Calgary and we had a little get-together out there, five of my players from my 89 Stanley Cup, our 89 Stanley Cup team out there was Timmy Hunter. And he coached, you know, for 4 years out in Moose Jaw in junior. And he came over to me, and he's very quiet, but if you've ever seen this, he said, "You guys have got one of the best young men you'll ever find." He said, "I had him in junior, his first year as a 16-year-old, 17-year-old. Cut him. We cut him from our team. We didn't think." He says, 2 days later, I was on the phone talking to his mom and dad, begging them to bring him back because we need to use him. He said, for 4 years, he was the best player I coached out there. And that's pretty high praise coming from a junior coach like Tim Hunter.
Well, you know, with Janot, Crispy, it struck me last night because the Preds haven't played St. Louis in, like, basically 2 years. But that's always, you know, that's one of the teams you think of in terms of heavy, physical, you know, going to make you work for everything kind of team. And it kind of struck me last night. The Blues must have looked to the other side and said, who are these guys, you know, because they're so much heavier and more physical now than they were last time they saw them. I mean, have you ever think about that, just the transformation here?
I love it. You just tickle the cockles of my heart, boy. You just got to me really, truly true.
That's right.
When you look at it, Berube, I mean, I love Craig Berube. He is a good person, a good man, a good coach. And you know that he is going to come at you hard and heavy, the same as Tortorella or some of the other coaches that we know will come at you. And I think he must have thought, he looked at, because they come out hitting pretty good. And then suddenly you look over and you saw they had Olivier, Myers, McCarron, my Lord, that guy popped out. I don't know where who what they put in his cereal or what they made him
good
mad.
Good gracious, yeah.
He made a solid game out there. And the Blues are looking, saying, you know, hasn't even warmed up yet out there. And, you know, you still had Ecky back there waiting and whatnot. So, yeah, the Blues probably did get – I don't think they were surprised because they're a good coach team. But I liked our attitude. We answered the bell all night. In fact, we initiated a lot of it. It was a good head-to-head battle. And that's exactly what we've needed. We needed to go out against the team. And to me, the last two games I like because it's the two teams that we've had a long, long history with, Dallas and St. Louis. And this was a good litmus test for our team on the road, and they won both of them. That makes me feel very positive.
Predators TV analyst Terry Crisp has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Friday at 8:30 here on the show. Crispy, appreciate you as always, and we'll see you at the rink tomorrow, my friend.
Anytime, guys. You know what? I might have to just gift you that line because you keep stealing it on me. But we will see you all at the rink.
That's right.
Have a good one.
That's right. Crispy, an absolute legend here on the show, joins us every Friday at 8:30. I did steal his line there.
Well, that's okay.
I know he doesn't like it when I do it. So,
well, I'm stealing his morning plan of drinking a bunch of coffee,
that's
too.
True. So. Did you do the, hey, you know, Janot on purpose when you asked Crispy that question? Because that made me laugh.
No. Is that what I did?
Yeah,
I said what?
Hey, you know.
Oh, man. That's a Vingan dad joke.
We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Crispy had to say there. Take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. How encouraged are you by the start for the Predators, and specifically by the start for Matt Duchene? We'll get to all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Matt Duchene after the game last night. Another win for the Predators. They win 4-3 last night in overtime. Matt Duchene, the game winner. 2 goals last night for Duchene. 4 assists for Mikhail Granlund in the game last night. By the way, everybody's talking about Duchene's 2 goals today. They were really nice. The pass he made on Cunning's goal last night was ridiculous. It was sick. It was
some Magic Johnson stuff.
It was.
To compare it to another sport.
So here we are.
The no look. He kind of didn't even really shoot that. He just sort of guided it.
Nudged
in.
It.
Yeah. That was a hell of a pass.
It was a great pass. And here we are. Matt Duchene has 14 points in 14 games, including 8 goals. He had 13 points in 34 games last year, 6 goals. So he's already, in 14 games, outscored his season from a year ago. Pretty incredible to think about.
And last year, to get to that, that required the big game he had in the final game of the season against Carolina's backups.
Yeah.
It's quite a story.
I mean, look, you go 4-1-1 on this road trip. I didn't have them going 4-1-1 on this trip. You're sitting in a good spot right now. Again, I told you yesterday, I don't really pay much attention to NHL standings before the 20-game mark right around American Thanksgiving. But you're in a good spot right now with your record. You're coming back home against a team tomorrow that's 1-11-1 on the season that you should handle tomorrow. We'll see what happens on that front. But by far, I think the most encouraging start and the most encouraging part of this season is Ryan Johansson and Duchesne. But I would even right now, like I'm putting Duchesne in a different category. Like he's playing really lights out hockey so far for this Predators team. He's confident, 8 goals in 14 games. You know, if he could, you know, you said it. I don't know if this pace is going to be sustainable because right now you're talking about an 82-point season for Matt Duchesne. And I don't know if I see that happening. But if he ends up around 65 points this year, I mean, that's you can't ask for much more than that if you're a Predators fan heading into this season.
No.
And I, quite frankly, the way he's played the last couple of years, I didn't really entertain that the idea of that being much of a possibility. Yet here he is, and he's playing the best hockey that he's played since he's come here.
Is it as simple? Because, look, last year, and I know fans got sick of hearing it, we had Matt Duchesne every week on this show, and there was a fair amount of talk of, I mean, I'm snake-bitten, it's bad luck. He did have, like, the shooting relative to, like, the production relative to the chances was low.
Yep.
And now, he's on a heater right now. He's absolutely red hot. So has he changed as dramatically as these numbers suggest, or is it sort of like almost like things are sort of regressing to what they should be?
Well, right now his shooting percentage is 18.6. That's an incredibly high number. I mean, you're talking about, you know, a good shooting percentage is, you know, 10%. Right now he's at 18.6. So look, the rate of the goals that he's scoring, it's going to go down at some point this year. I mean, it's just – that's the way things even out. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy over the last couple of years. You look at the shooting percentage with the chances that he's generated, and maybe this is just a little bit of a course correction. I mean, his shooting percentage last year was 8.2. The year before that, it was 9.6. You know, 8.7 in Columbus. The year before that, he was 21-4-3 in Ottawa before he got traded that year, which is just absolutely absurd how high that shooting percentage was. But for his career, he's been around, you know, 11-12% is where his numbers have typically ended up. So it's going to go down, but man, it sure is nice to see it rebounding the other way for him so far this year.
Right. So it's going to go down. So if he's around there, if he's around 12%, the way he's playing, then he's probably going to be a 60-point-plus player this year.
Yep.
And that's. So I don't think you can count – you can't count on him all of a sudden having, like, this career year, this pace that he's on, and to carry the team. I mean, they need more. They need Forsberg back.
Yep.
You know, they need guys like – they do. They need guys like Tolvanen to chip in more. Cunnan, the beneficiary of an incredible Duchesne pass, there's a guy who I think can give you more offense.
He's got 2 goals. Need to see more.
Yeah. I mean, you still need – you know, you need collectively some guys to rise up, because Duchesne, it's going to go. You know how it goes in anything, any sport, baseball, whatever it is. Like, you're going to, unless you're like Derrick Henry and you know, like some kind of just freak who is not going to be stopped no matter what. But it's encouraging. And Johansson is too, because I feel like Johansson is looking to score a little more.
Yes.
And I've always thought that was a good idea for him.
Speaking of shooting percentage. What would you guess Ryan Johansson's shooting percentage is right now? Just if you had to guess.
I mean, given his production and how he normally doesn't shoot a ton, I don't know, 27?
33.3%.
Hey!
Every 3 shots, it's going in the back of the net for Johansson.
So like a decent, you know, 3-point percentage in the NBA.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That might change.
Well, it's also like, hey, man.
Shoot more.
Shoot that thing a little bit more. You got 15 shots on the whole season. 5 of them have gone in.
And that's the thing. So really, I'm kind of wrong, because I've perceived it like he's shooting more. But I guess not that much. He still needs to shoot more.
Yeah. Nate on the text line. Yes, the Preds beat the Blues and the Stars. It doesn't mean it's not false hope. This is not a true playoff team. If they somehow get in, it's one and done. I guarantee it. This doesn't mean I wouldn't be happy with winning a cup. I just see what this team is, and winning a cup isn't it.
Okay, wait. There was a line in there. I mean, it's not that I wouldn't be happy winning a cup. Well, thank you for clarifying.
Yes. I mean, what do you mean it's not a true playoff team? Like, what does that mean?
I mean, the bottom line is
the playoffs, they're a playoff team.
In the NHL, there's eight on each side, and usually at the bottom reaches of that, you've got some pretty average-ish teams.
Look.
That's how the NHL and NBA have been forever.
I picked the Predators to finish in seventh place in the Central Division before the season began. And look, there's still a long way to go, and that is very much on the table. They've been much better so far than I thought they would be. They have. And that's without Forsberg for some of it. You know, for some of it, that's without really scoring a whole lot of goals to begin the season. They've been much better than I thought they would be. So, to me, if you're a Predators fan, based on what you've seen so far this year, I think you got to be pretty encouraged by where this team is relative to most expectations.
I would agree. I mean, I think the last two nights in particular, you have to really like what they did against those teams that used to push them around. They did a lot of the pushing, and they produced and won. I mean, you have to like that. And they got a win out of their new number two goalie, you know, who had to play in a back-to-back. I mean, I think that there's a percentage of the fan base that's probably not going to move off. Like, this isn't going to lead to a cup, so blow it up more. Trade Forsberg, whatever. Right? And honestly, I'm not saying those people are wrong when it comes down to it. But this is the team that you have right now, and if you're keeping an open mind and watching them, I mean, I think you have to like it. Tanner Janot is not someone that I expected to come out and start looking like this, like, beastly top six guy who might really be like a consistent 20-goal kind of scorer.
You know who he reminds me of?
Maybe I'm overreacting, but I think he might be that guy.
You know who he reminds me of? And I said this yesterday on pregame with Chase.
Well, I heard it, so I know who you're going
to say. Well, he reminds me of Tom Wilson. Like, he's obviously without the
nasty dirtiness.
Yeah, I mean, we've not seen Tanner Janot go over the line yet in his NHL career, but like, you're talking about a gigantic power forward who has offensive touch and that is physically just so imposing that most people don't want to deal with him. I mean, that's what Tanner Janot kind of is so far. Now, you know, there's still a long way to go. You know, we've had a lot of discussion about Tom Wilson here on the show, given some of the incidents that have taken place. 32 general managers in the NHL would love to have Tom Wilson. I mean, if Tanner Janot is going to be this physically imposing and he can fight and he can hit and he can be everything you need him to be physically and he puts up 20, 25 goals this year, I mean, that's not a very common skill set in the NHL.
Now, this just came to me. I have to write something about this. I like this. It's a brilliant idea in my head. You know, Tanner Janot, what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Victor Arvidsson in the 16-17 season. Kind of a nice player, had done something in the playoffs the year before, but then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, he's one of their best players. Totally different physically, but Arvidsson's grit and hustle and everything was like, it was big for the team. I thought, like, intangibly it helped the team. I think Janot is like that this year. In a different way. Obviously, he's destroying everything in his path. Totally different kind of player, but it reminds me of that. Like, this guy kind of coming out of nowhere a little bit, all of a sudden he's like, wait a minute, I think he's actually one of your best players.
Right. And look, is this team a Stanley Cup contender? Probably not. But the whole idea of the rebuild conversation and everything that we're talking about, a lot of that had to do with 92 and 95. Could they ever get it figured out? They keep playing like this, I think it maybe makes you feel a little bit differently about where the team is in the short term and the long term.
Well, and then you can get into the reality of the Stanley Cup playoffs. But
correct.
We're so far from that.
Way far.
If this team it plays like this all year, they're going to be in, and I don't think they're going to be like the eight either. And then we can tick off the list of people who won a cup that had no business doing it, including the team they played last night a couple years ago that was like one of the worst teams in the league as of January and won the cup. I mean, that's how that tournament can go. But
long way. Long way to go on that front. When we come back, a big matchup coming up tomorrow between Tennessee and the number one team in the country, the Georgia Bulldogs, coming in. We'll talk to our good friend Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel and look ahead to that matchup next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.